Professor, do you imagine us to be so rare and so privileged as to actually be, with respect to intelligent life, alone?
Now, I'm not ready to say that we're alone in the entire universe. I just don't think we know the probabilities well enough yet. We actually give a new version of the Drake equation in Appendix A of our book.
A new version?
Yes, we have 20 factors. If you remember, the original version that Frank Drake produced around 1960 had 7 factors.
It was, okay, no, I didn't know there were actually 7 factors. So you add that many more to get to how many, 20?
20.
20 factors, yeah. And that does what to the math?
Well, if you give a conservative 10% to each of the first 13, which are primarily astrophysical, then 10 to the, or 0.1 to the 13th power is 10 to the minus 13. Multiply that by the number of stars in the galaxy, 10 to the 11th, that gives you 10 to the minus 1. If you just assume 10% for each one. So I think some of them are much less than 10%. So in my personal opinion, we're alone in the galaxy, at least as far as an intelligent civilization is concerned. But I can't say that for the entire universe. I can't say that we're alone.
I'm still, you went through the numbers very quickly. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Break it down for me.
Yeah, so the factors include such things as being in the right distance from the host star, so you can have liquid water on the surface of a planet.
Right.
You need a planet of sufficient size so it can retain its atmosphere, and so it can retain a magnetic field. You need to be at the right place in the galaxy, something called the galactic habitable zone. It's the region of the galaxy, and this is something I've worked on with Peter Ward and Don Brownlee to develop this idea, is where you need to be in the galaxy.
Does that have to do with how many objects are likely to impact in a certain area of the galaxy, or what?
That's part of it.
In other words, life killers.
Yeah, there are two types of life killers. Radiation events, such as produced by supernovae,
right,
or gamma ray bursts, or the black hole at the center of the galaxy, whenever it accretes matter, it'll form an accretion disk and emit lots of radiation. And the other type of threat are, as you say, impacts. And comets are indeed a threat that depends on location in the galaxy. Because most comets reside in the Oort cloud, very far from the sun, they're very weakly held to the sun by the sun's gravity because they're so far away. So they're very sensitive to perturbations from nearby stars.
All right, again, the difference with Drake, Professor.
Yeah.
In other words,
we have many more factors.
Yeah, you've told me about the factors, but I mean, in numbers that the average person can understand, what then are the probabilities of intelligent life out there with your calculation?
Yeah, we don't actually put a firm number because we give what we think is an upper limit based on very optimistic numbers for each of the factors of about 10%. And so just for the galaxy, we'd say there's less than a 1% chance of another civilization in the galaxy, just our galaxy.
That makes us pretty rare.
And in my opinion, that's an upper limit. Yeah.
Okay. That's an upper limit. And the universe?
And the universe. Well, there are about 100 billion or a few hundred billion galaxies in the observable universe. So roughly as many galaxies as there are stars in our galaxy, which is a large number.
Okay.
And so, from my upper limit, multiply 0.01 by 10 to the 11th, about a billion or so civilizations in the universe as an upper limit.
You're saying an upper limit of a billion could have life?
Yeah, I would say habitable Earth-like planets.
Right.
Yeah.
That's still a lot.
That's still a lot, but I think it's an upper limit. And my personal view is the real number is probably smaller than that.
Yes, you seem very much on that side, very much, perhaps in a private moment, you might even suggest you have a fair belief that we are alone.
That's my current personal belief, is that we're probably alone in the universe.